In studio with me is a former radio disc jockey, now a novelist. His name is Steve Bellinger. His first novel, his first published novel, is called The Chrono Card, a science fiction tale set in Bronzeville, set across more than a century. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Explain to people how you're a former radio guy. You got the, very few people wear the headphones in here because I don't take phone calls.
Oh, absolutely.
You go, hey, wait a minute, Rick, I'm a former radio guy. I'm wearing headphones.
Well, I'm an alum of IIT, and so I did radio on WIIT for 4 years.
What kind of show?
All kinds of show. I mean, there weren't very many black students there then, so I had the only soul.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, it was very popular. In fact, I got an award for that 1 year.
That's fabulous. You should get an award for this book, too. What took you? I know that your mom, Dorothy Bellinger, you grew up on the Near West Side, was a big reader and would bring books home to you. That's what first turned you on to literature, right?
Exactly. Yeah, she worked for a printing company, and she would bring home books and magazines, just sort of all sorts of things. And I picked up a copy of iRobot, Isaac Asimov, and fell in love with sci-fi at that point.
Wow. Yeah. How old were you? 12-ish?
Probably something like that. I don't even remember. Old enough to read.
But you also fell in love with writing, and it's been, you know, decades before this first novel came out. What kind of writing did you do before that?
Oh, everything I could. I mean, I did comic books. I wrote Sunday school lessons for the AME Church for 5 years.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I did original radio drama. I wrote and produced radio drama back in the '70s.
Wow.
And in fact, there is a production entitled Day of the Martians that I did, which is a modern version of War of the Worlds that takes place in Chicago.
Was most of your writing, I don't think the Sunday school stuff was, but most of your writing was science fiction based then, right?
Yeah, when I could do fiction. I mean, I did some like newspaper articles for like small newspapers and things like that. Yeah.
When you got in the high tech field, I mean, you go to IIT, you deal in the world of technology, right?
Well, you know, you've seen the movie Hidden Figures.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's the computer that I worked on back then. In fact, I recognize the Fortran book.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. What then is the seed of the Chrono Card, which you can't – I'm going to spell that for you people. C-H-R-O-N-O-C-A-R by Steve Bellinger. When did you sit down and say, okay, it is time for me to try my hand? You may have had maybe novels, bits and pieces of them before, but the seed of this one, what compelled you to sit down and start writing?
I had always wanted to write the great American science fiction novel.
Hmm.
And I sort of like time travel.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me that I should use my own experience, you know, so the character should be black. And that it should take place in my hometown, Chicago.
Let me ask you, as a science fiction person, I'm not a big science fiction guy, though I loved your book. Are there many African-American characters in science fiction? My guess would be no.
Well, not really. And very often, if you watch a lot of the movies, you know, you may see an African-American captain of a starship.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Well, nothing to do with the actual black experience, so to speak.
See, exactly.
So that's where I tried to be different here.
You said it. Well, let's before we talk about your writers' groups and all that stuff and all the thing, the novel is set in the past. It is about the son of a slave.
Right.
Who goes to the Tuskegee.
Tuskegee, yeah. He has the mind of a genius.
Yeah.
He goes to Tuskegee and in kind of a sneaky way gets a PhD in physics. And he figures out the secret to time travel. He designs a chrono car, which he cannot build, doesn't have the technology. So he publishes it in a very obscure journal.
Obscure journal, sure.
And then 125 years later, a black IIT student discovers these plans and builds a chrono car. Well, where are you going to go the first time?
The great thing is his purpose in building the chrono car, because he's an IIT student, he wants to experiment and do this very thing. But he wants to time travel to a very specific point.
Well, he wants to show the machine off to his inventor.
Yeah, see, that's... That plot twist, and it's not a plot twist, that plot thread is really fascinating to me.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
This kid, as you told me before, and I'm not giving too much away, is kind of The book's not autobiographical, but the kid is kind of based on you.
Oh, yeah, kind of based on me.
In what ways?
Well, when I set up the situations, I would ask myself, well, what would I do then? You know, I was kind of, you know, he's a little careless. You know, being from a very humble beginnings, sure. I built my own stereo, for example.
Wow.
You know, I would teach myself how to fix things. I fixed a tape deck once, took it apart, fixed it, put it back together, worked perfectly, and there's still a couple of screws and springs on the floor there, but it still worked.
Well,
he's that kind of a character. He gets it to work, but he hasn't done enough research to know what trouble he's getting into.
Well, but also what's also appealing about this kid is he's curious.
I mean, exactly.
He is hungry and curious for knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes back to the year 1919 in Bronzeville. It was called the Black Belt. And because he figures out that's where you can find the now Dr. Johnson. He also meets, his daughter.
Of course.
And
he
gets into trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have to do Steve Bellinger? You didn't grow up in Bronzeville. You didn't grow up in the Black Belt. That neighborhood has changed remarkably over the last, 40 or 50 years.
Oh, sure.
When you did do the research, what did you think? And I'm sure, obviously, you did a ton of research.
Well, yeah, I've worked in that area for a long time.
Yeah. And IIT is in that area.
But I walked up and down 47th Street several times just to get a feel of what it was like. And I realized that a lot of those buildings were there in 1919.
Sure.
You know, one of the interesting chapters in the book is when she's showing him around and he recognizes the elevated train.
Yeah.
And she's amazed that you've gotten no farther than that. You know?
Yeah. 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 You haven't. Yeah. They're not flying cars.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
This book. Well, let's take a break. Let's take a quick break and come back. I'm sitting here with Steve Bellinger talking about his first of what should be a stream of novels. The first one is called The Chrono Car, Chron OCAR. It's a really handsome book. The design of this cover is really cool.
Oh,
Who did this?
His name is Michael Leadingham. He's an award-winning artist.
It is published by, what's the publisher here?
Barking Rain Press.
Barking Rain Press out of Vancouver, Washington. It's a handsome book, and it's the
if
other
I can
reason
say
I,
a shout-out to Sherry Gormley and Ty Locke. Those
shout
are
out to
people.
Whoever you want.
Yeah, those are the two ladies that made all this possible.
Well, it's a handsome book, and it's set in Chicago, and it's as you know, you regular listeners, I'm not a great fan of science fiction, but when I come across something that it's incredibly clever. And it's not goofy. It's not goofy science fiction, Steve Bellinger. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Mr. Bellinger. That's a piano of Alan Barkus by popular demand. I played him last week, and a lot of you wanted to hear him again. You'll hear a couple songs at the end when we check in with producer Elise Graham and see what her new job is. She's always got something going. I have some more time, though, with Steve Bellinger, the author of a fascinating book, The Chrono Car, Chronocar, about a contemporary young man named Tony Carpenter, who finds the plans for this time travel machine that were initially invented after the turn of the century, and decides to go back to build it, go back, meet the guy who invented it, so he can emulate him. He obviously admires him for building something like this,
yeah,
and also meet his very, very cute daughter, but also get involved in the horrific race riots of 1919 in Chicago,
yes.
And they were horrific. Steve, define, if you would, science fiction. It's a broad umbrella, yes?
Well, actually, the definition that I believe in is actually sort of narrow. Real science fiction would be stories in which the science, whether real or imaginary, is so central to the story that if you removed it, you would have nothing.
Oh,
now, by that definition, Star Wars is not science fiction.
Good point.
Even Lucas would tell you that himself.
Yeah, interesting.
And this is sort of what I consider to be hard science fiction. I mean, in that it deals with a little bit of real science adding up to, coming up to the fictional science.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised at how many people really enjoy it. But I think most people don't realize what real sci-fi is.
Yes, good point. So. Good point. I may not either. You're right. You're right. I just enjoyed this as a good novel that happens to travel back in time.
Oh, great.
And has a machine in it mm-hmm. that I couldn't come to event if I wanted to. When you first finished this book, what did you think? Did you think, wow, I have a real great book on my hands? You didn't, did you? 'Cause you...
Well, I thought, okay, I got something. It might work out. My wife picked up a copy of one of the early manuscripts. She read it and came to me in tears saying that if I didn't finish the thing and send it off, she's going to divorce me.
I know. You say that in the acknowledgments.
Yeah, so that's called motivation.
Yes, and you say, thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No kidding. How hard was it to when you joined writers' groups, did you not? Did you join them when you were writing this?
Well, not in the beginning. When I sent the manuscript off to the publisher the first time, I got a nice long rejection letter because they saw the potential of the story.
That's fantastic. That so rarely happens.
It was unbelievable. And she recommended that I join writers' groups to learn how to develop characters and what have you. And in the book there,
it was a real letter of encouragement. It must have been.
It was.
An empowerment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I knew I had something going.
Yeah.
And I thanked the members of that group, in the book. Now, I'm a member of the writer's group now. It's called the Novelist Meetup. Mm-hmm. And they helped me with my second and third novels, which are,
in the process published.
And if I could shout out to Barry, sure. Bex, Bill, Maria, Amanda, Alicia, Catherine, and Gina.
No, you can't do that.
I can't.
On this show.
Okay.
What are you crazy? Why are you doing something? Of course.
I take it all back.
Just joking. Shout out to anybody you want, because those groups, and there are a lot of them around, literally take away the inherent insecurity that I think any first time novelist feels.
Absolutely. I mean, to have someone read your work and tell you that it has value. Even when they find things too that need work, that need to be corrected, but it has value. This is great. You're on the right path. And maybe it'll even make a suggestion here and there. I mean, there was someone made a suggestion once for the Chronicar, and I went home thinking, the guy's an idiot. Then I did it and realized it was perfect,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How hard was it to get the book published? Because the publishing business, as you know, is pretty wicked these days.
See, my life has been kind of strange. Because a lot of people will tell you that they've sent it off to 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
I sent it to one publisher, and after not hearing, I wrote to them, and it turned out that the principal of the company had died and mm-hmm. weren't doing anything, so I left that alone. I sent it to these guys, and I got that rejection letter. I sent it to another publisher that actually turned out to be a vanity press.
Yeah, well, I know what that is.
So I thought,
maybe you pay us, and we'll publish your book.
And I thought, well, maybe I'll go that route if no one else wants it. And because actually Barking Rain Press is like the third place I sent it to.
That's fantastic.
But I did my research. There's a website called duotrope.com
mm-hmm.
where you can actually search independent publishers based on all sorts of criteria. And they matched my criteria. And, they were like, they've been around maybe 2 years then. They were looking for writers. They only had one other science fiction book. I don't think they had any black writers at the time, so it was just a perfect storm.
Wow. And you've done a lot of – first of all, when they sent you that first copy and you held it in your hands, how did you feel?
I cried like a baby. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was unbelievable.
No, I'm sure you did.
I reacted that way when I saw the cover the first time they sent it to me, because that's what made it real.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you're pretty actively marketing social media-ing.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. You've realized that's one of the huge new aspects of the publishing biz.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And part of this is is sort of a bucket list kind of thing. I work downtown, and mm-hmm. I had always dreamed of doing a book signing at Barbara's at the Willis Tower.
Oh, wow.
And I managed to do that like a month before it closed.
Yeah.
I'm working with another gentleman, Joe Rooley. He did.
Yeah,
the,
this sounds like. How did you two pair up, Joe?
Well, another writer.
Joe Rooley is the author of the Chicago Haymarket Affair. How did you two pair up?
It's another writer's group. And he had written this. I had written the Chronicar, and we were just talking about it because he was going around trying to do programs. And they were all saying, well, this is great, but we need something different. And I forget if it was he or I that came up with the idea, but the combination turned out to be magical. And
so you talk about the history. I mean, he is obviously running, but a very real event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And mine is based on real events.
Exactly.
So we talk about the research, you know, what's real, what isn't real, and how to figure out who's telling the truth.
Your wife's also a writer, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, she's a business coach. She's working her heart out right now. And she wrote a book entitled "You Lost Me at Hello."
Yeah,
and
actionable principles that move you beyond networking. Her name is Donna Smith Bellinger,
and she teaches people how to do exactly that.
Now, did she cry when she saw your book?
I don't know because I was too busy crying.
Yeah. I couldn't see through the tears.
See, exactly.
Donna, where are you? I can't see you. This whole experience, obviously, Steve Bellinger has empowered you tremendously.
Oh, absolutely.
Did it make the writing of your second and third novels that much easier?
Yeah. I mean, the Chronicar took 7 years of messing around and researching and putting it away and picking it up. The second book took year and a half. The third one
took a week.
Like 8 months. Yeah.
A week.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they both science fiction as well?
Yeah, they're all science fiction.
Set in Chicago.
Set in Chicago is sort of a series. The second one is entitled Edge of Perception, and a lot of that action takes place on Goose Island.
Really? Is it a series with Tony Carpenter?
No, he's not in it, but it's in that same universe.
Yeah.
Because the fourth novel, which I'm working on now, is the actual sequel and conclusion to the Chronicar.
Oh, how interesting.
And when I do that, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do after that.
What do you mean? You'll be rich and famous. George Lucas will be making movies about this.
Well, you know, it beats all of the remakes they're doing in the movies now. We were just at the theater, and they're remaking Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea. Hollywood has no idea.
You know, I mean, I know the ending. Why would I go see it?
They have no ideas. Yeah. Who inspired, what authors? I mean, you go back to, you know, Isaac Asimov and some of your early influences. What authors inspire you?
Well, again, it's those guys, Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke, Ray Bradbury. Some of the newer authors like Orson Scott Card, mm-hmm. I like some of his stuff, Harlan Ellison.
Sure,
but
sure.
I try to develop my own style, so I have to be careful.
I can't
read a lot of stuff when I'm writing
because
it starts to sound like their stuff.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
The first short story that I wrote in college, the guy said, "This is great, but it sounds like 2001 A Space Odyssey," you know.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's true. But
Steve, you seem so pleased and empowered, and you've got your own website, which is Steve Bellinger. I'm not even going to insult you people by spelling that for you. It's Steve Bellinger, okay, .com. It's a good website.
Exactly.
It's a nice website.
You can also get to it at thechronicar.com also.
See, you're a good marketer. You
oh,
know
yeah.
what you know.
Well, I used to be
doing.
A web developer, so I did all that stuff.
You got any events coming up?
Yes, as a matter of fact. We talked about the event that I'm doing with Joe Rooley.
Yeah.
We just finished doing one at at 57th Street Books
great.
Bookstall in Winnetka. On July 15th at 5, we're going to be at the bookseller on Lincoln Avenue.
Oh, good. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I was there once before.
The bookseller's a great start
because
you can have wine and beer while you're listening to you and Joe talk.
And then at 2 o'clock on the 29th of July, we're going to be at the Edgewater branch of the Chicago Public Library.
That's fantastic.
So we've got other things coming up, like later in the month. We're going to.
Well, you can find it all. You've got a good website, too. Well, you should because you're an IIT
Well, I better,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better have one. But, ladies and gentlemen, watch for Steve. I'm going to have Steve and Joe on the show probably by the time your next book is out.
Yeah, hopefully,
but to do your thing and your history thing here, you sound like a great team.
Sure.
And you, my friend, are a terrific writer.
Thank you very much.
The book is The Chronicar. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, Chronicar.
Chronicar.
You have no idea what it is to hear that from you.
What? Oh, stop that. It's just a cool cover, and it is one of the few, and I think this is a very important thing to introduce African-American characters to science fiction in a new way, and Chicago-based science fiction, too, which is great because it's history.
Exactly.
And your history is well-founded and grounded. Steve, it's a pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you, sir.
I'll see you in a few months.
Okay.
I'll see you in a few months. You
Terrific.
And Joe will sit here, and you'll say, "Joe, put the headphones on. I used to be in radio."